My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This time, it's just a classic Lawrence, Rahul, Ronald ep, and we're covering an episode of Beyond Midnight called The House Was a Sphinx. This was a selection from Rahul. I had asked you guys what you wanted to talk about, you know, something goofy, something good, or something really nasty. Rahul said super nasty, and then I gave him a episode of Beyond Midnight, and he picked this one. Rahul, what stood out to you about this one, aside from the strange title?
You know, I don't remember if it had much of a description on the Wikipedia. But, you know, I have a thing for sphinxes, so
You find them sexy, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so I don't know if you looked at the video, the YouTube video for this audio. Did you look at the image?
Yeah.
Is it of a sexy sphinx?
Yes. I'm like, this sphinx is well endowed.
I don't recall the sphinx being sexy.
You didn't look at it.
Okay. I'm looking right now.
Yeah, we got to correct the record on this. It's very important.
It's a decent looking sphinx, I must say.
Oh, I see what you're talking about now.
Okay, so
we're all on board. We have a quorum.
Yeah, our podcast position is that we would not kick this sphinx out of bed for eating crackers.
You dirty dog.
Although it's interesting because Rahul famously hates riddles, and yet sphinx is riddle-based creature. Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, but normally they're like, would you or wouldn't you? You know, it's like a really sexy riddle that always has like a good answer.
The sexy riddle where the answer is man, because he starts as a baby and then he's a dude and then he's old. The sexiest riddle in the world.
What?
No, but here's the thing. Rahul attracts sphinxes because people generally try to like answer their riddles and he just doesn't engage. He just like, you know, tries to change the topic. And that's like a mystique that sphinxes just can't.
Yeah,
like,
it's irresistible to them.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, when you put stuff on a table and a cat just has to jump up and knock it all off. Same thing with a sphinx.
They're also part cat.
Wherever we are with this, whatever we're going with this, that sphinx is, I'm going to date it. So
yeah,
I'm imagining now Rahul negging a sphinx and being like, you know, I think it's cute how small your wings are. A lot of guys don't go for that, but I think it's adorable. Stuff like that.
Do sphinxes fly? Is that one of their things?
Some of them have wings. I don't know, man. Why are you questioning my bit about you trying to fuck a sphinx by running a game on it?
Well, I mean, there's no one questioning that Rahul would fuck a sphinx.
Yeah, I mean, that was
never in question.
We made that clear 3 whole minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, anyways, a little bit of background on this series. It's actually a real weird one. This is from South Africa in the late 60s to early 70s. I know basically nothing about South African cultural output, but I will say that these are like supremely like nasty. They've got this very mean quality to them, which is, I mean, it wouldn't be that out of a place in a movie of that period, but it is pretty weird in a radio program from then. And they will frequently, even when they're adapting something, they will make changes to it to make it like nastier or scarier, which is weird. And the other strange thing is that although it's set in South Africa, it's from South Africa, they basically never like mention anything about life in South Africa. There's one episode that kind of deals with it. They, as far as I know, none of their episodes have black characters aside from maybe like one adapting someone like horrible jungle adventure, but it's never just like, you know, here's a normal, you know, African gentleman and this is what he gets up to or anything like that. And so it's strange to have a radio show just refuse to engage with the country that produced it at all. Instead, they're all set in a kind of generic Britain, or I think this one might have been supposed to be America, although it's hard to be sure.
They certainly had American accents, it sounded like.
Yeah, they were trying for American accents, and at one point they mentioned going to another state. So, this is one of the radio shows that I do not like and I do not listen to very much because the combination of the audio quality being poor enough that it hits that kind of eerie spot for me that we've talked about me having, and then the fact that they're so mean means that they like weird me out and make me uncomfortable. But, you know, it's a good series.
I didn't feel like they were that mean in this. Maybe the other ones are meaner.
This one was a little bit mean-spirited because just there's three characters and two of them are horrible people, but it definitely is not as bad as some of the other ones. Anyway,
I kind of felt like no one was overtly evil in this one.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyways, aside from that, I have a little bit of prelude I want to do before we start talking about the main episode, before we go for the summary, which is this episode's, like the summary you can read a bit online, and it's kind of hook, is that there is a room in a house that is locked and that no one goes into, and that there's an aura of mystery and fear around. And then the climax of it is someone opening that door. So, what did you guys think was going to be behind the door while you were listening to this?
I thought it was going to be a sphinx, not going to lie. Or some sort of monster, you know, but sphinx related.
You thought the title was going to mean something, and it kind of
did.
Well, apparently the house was a sphinx, which,
I guess.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
I guess it has mysteries and riddles and shit.
Yeah. I assumed it was metaphorical, but then I was like, wait, is the house like actually a giant sphinx?
That would have been unusual, at least.
That would have been an interesting architectural decision. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas.
It's a Vegas attraction, you know?
Ronald, what do you think was going to be behind the door?
I mean, I definitely thought it was going to be something supernatural. It felt like there was this like foreboding aura around it, and like Rahul said, the thing was called the Sphinx. It just felt like there was going to be something supernatural.
Yeah. What I thought was going on was essentially it was going to probably not go full on supernatural, but it was either going to be like she had a brother that no one knew about who was horribly deformed and monstrous in there, or it might have been a Texas Chainsaw Massacre style mummy that's kind of alive of her grandfather. Were kind of the directions I thought it was going to go. Instead, we got what I'm going to argue is our first stupid twist in a very long time. These used to be our bread and butter, and instead, you know, we've kind of moved away from them. But it's nice to see one again.
You know, I didn't think the twist was that stupid.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was a pretty...
It certainly was not Johnny is the devil.
Eddie.
You know, it almost didn't even feel like a twist to me, honestly, like...
Okay, what it felt like more than anything was kind of a fuck you to the audience, which I guess
is true.
Kind of different from being a stupid twist, but it's
that
still,
is true, yes. It was a fuck you to the audience.
We used to be primarily a twist-based podcast, and we haven't had a twist in a long time, so it was nice to get one. Anyways.
Yeah, well, let's market this episode as if it is a big twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Big twist.
That's what the people came to hear about. They love twists.
Yeah.
They love turns.
Give them what they want.
Yeah.
Our audience is primarily Chubby Checker and Chubby Checker related people.
Exactly.
Yeah, the man who sung the twist, I hope. Otherwise, that reference is even more obscure. Anyways, or just misguided. Anyways, so let's go around and would you recommend this? Ronald, what do you think?
You know, I like this episode. It doesn't have too much going on. But that being said, it's not super long. The characters are interesting at the very least. Some of them are pretty hateable, but they are pretty interesting characters. They don't feel incredibly stupid, which I like. I think that this was just like a well produced episode of radio. So it's a recommend for me.
I'll go next. I maintain my aversion to this series, and I would probably never listen to this episode again because I think I would be bored by it once I knew where it was going. But, you know, when I was listening to it, I was engaged and creeped out by it, primarily, I think, because the score on it is excellent and you have that mystery of what's in the room. So, you know, if you want to listen to this once, that's fine. If you do, I would urge you to check it out now before you have us spoil it for you, because I think that this is one of the ones where if you know where it's going, it's really going to make it not work for you very well. You know,
that is true.
Yeah. And Rahul, what do you think?
Yeah, I recommend it with the caveat you mentioned earlier about the audio quality. It's too bad about that, but otherwise every other aspect of it is pretty well done, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought the final twist, I feel like knowing it wouldn't ruin it. I feel like there's a twist earlier, though, that would.
Yeah, this is primarily a plot show, not a character-like show. So if you know the plot, or like a performance show, so if you know where it's going, you're not going to, like, have great time. How's that?
Yeah, there's not great performances in it. I think they're adequate, but...
Yeah, but yeah, it's not like the kind of performance where you're watching it. It's not like, you know, watching Christopher Walken go nuts or something where you're like, I don't care what he's doing. I just like watching it.
It's okay. Not John Lithgow in the robot episode.
Yeah, exactimo. So anyways, let's go ahead and roll. I've got it all set up. Unfortunately, I can no longer share my screen, so you are going to have to trust me, but here goes. It's a Ronald summary. Okay, Ronald.
What do I get, 30 seconds?
Let's do 1 minute on the clock, because I think 30... Well, actually, I think you could probably do it in 30 seconds, yeah, but let's just do...
This is a pretty quick one.
It's like two sentences.
Yeah, give me 30 seconds. Let's see if I can do it.
Okay.
I don't remember anyone's names.
Doesn't matter. Just call him like the guy and stuff. So okay. Also, I just discovered my backup wasn't recording again. So here's hoping that Zencaster comes through for us.
Oh my God, Lord. Don't you have two monitors?
What? How would that help me with an
audio? You have your Audacity on one and your Zencaster on the other.
No, I actually don't. I only have one monitor, but it's a very fancy one. Anyways, Ronald.
You have such an expensive computer in one monitor.
God damn it. I have a very small gaming desk.
His GPU is like $15,000. And then he only has money for like an old CRT.
And he has a tiny desk in the corner of his room.
Like, I spent all my money on the GPU, man.
But trust me, that thing cranks.
The monitor only goes up to 480p, but goddamn, my frame rate actually isn't that good either, because the refresh rate isn't that strong. But
look, I can't show you guys that it's a good GPU, but trust me, it's good in there.
Yeah, if I had a better monitor, we'd really see some stuff. I don't, but we are hitting the monitor's refresh rate of 30 frames per second pretty consistently.
It's like, man, there's some jelly in that donut.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, Ronald, three, 30 seconds on the clock. Two, one, go.
Okay, there's three characters, a guy, a girl, and the girl's mom. And so it starts off with the guy and the girl looking at this house, and it turns out that the girl inherited her house from her dad, and they're looking around, they're just having fun, they just got married. And they go on, they come upon a room that's always been locked as far as the girl remembers. And there's just kind of this foreboding aura around the door, and she doesn't want to open it, and it's locked. Then the mom shows up and says, like, oh, you guys, you shouldn't be here. What are you doing here? You need to come with me, girl. That was 30 seconds?
Yeah, but let's go ahead and give you another 30 because, you know.
Okay. That was way shorter than I thought. Okay. I'll get through this really quick.
Okay. So locked room. You got another 30 seconds of the clock. Three, two, okay, one, go.
Okay, so the mom says, like, you guys need to split up, and they say you can't do anything about this because we're already married. And she's like, well, I can do stuff about it, actually. She doesn't get her inheritance until she turns 21. So they talk, and the girl says, like, I'm gonna kill myself if you mess with it. And the guy convinces the girl, like, maybe you should just pretend to kill yourself, and here's some sleeping pills. It's not enough to kill you, but... And so the girl takes them to pretend to kill herself, but it turns out she has a heart condition. She actually dies, and the mom gets really pissed. And so she tells the guy, like, oh, you can have the house. Actually, I was kidding. And here's the keys. And so the guy's like, well, maybe there's something valuable in this room. And he opens up the door, he walks in, and then it cuts back to the mom. And she's talking to someone, and he's like, why'd you give him that house? You knew what would happen. She reveals that room is just filled with rotting floorboards, and if you walked inside, you would fall through onto the driveway below and die. And that's apparently what happened to the guy, and that's the end.
Okay, you did not finish, but you were on such a in time, but you were on such a roll, I didn't really want to ant you. Plus, I had already ant you once. So that's it. Just kind of a story about horrible people being horrible to each other. The girl seems nice. The mother repeatedly says that the guy is faking marrying her because her daughter is ugly, which is in front of the daughter, which is astonishing.
Yeah. I forgot about that part.
She's incredibly mean, but she also might be kind of right.
She's definitely right. Although I think we'll get into high points in a sec, but I just want to say, I don't think a trophy like gold digging is bad, assuming both people know that that's what's happening, you know?
Yeah, I agree with
that. That's just an aside, but that wasn't the case here.
Yeah, that's true. The dude, the chick totally did not think he was gold digging. He had her fooled into thinking he loved her. And so probably things wouldn't have gone well anyways. But
I mean, yeah, they could have just dated for a while until she was of age in the country or the county or state or whatever they were in.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get
in a hurry.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into some high points. What do you guys say?
Sure.
So my one is basically Beyond Midnight has this very like well put together, like ominous and oppressive score. And it really works here to turn what probably wouldn't actually count as a horror story into a horror story just by combining some descriptions of the house, like being kind of spooky, even though it turns out the house being spooky doesn't matter at all. And then like her talking about people sometimes were scared of the door or seemed to be when she was little. So, you know, good score. Nice to see that in one of these. Really sold the thing and made it work as a horror story when it probably really isn't one.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I think it kind of is a horror story, but like there isn't really a horror besides like the what people will do to each other.
It's a nasty melodrama that might shade over into horror a little bit, but it's, you know, it's not like serial killers and such.
Yeah, there's no
or haunted houses.
There's not a ghost.
Yeah. I thought there was a ghost, but there wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really freaks you out, right? You really think the house is like haunted or something.
Well, yeah, the combination of the score and them describing how creepy the house is. Yeah, it seems like there's something up.
This was based off a short story, right?
Yeah, I have no idea what's in the original short story, though. I Googled it, and apparently it's very hard to find.
It also just seemed like the mom didn't want them going into the locked room, which, like, you know, maybe it was just because there was rotting floorboards. But if that's the case, wouldn't you just say, hey, don't go in there. It's, like, going to collapse.
That is one of the weirdest things in this episode. Assuming that there is nothing we're not aware of going on, it is bananas that apparently there was this mystery room that they just never told the girl, hey, here's what's going on with the mystery room, which is that the floorboards are rotted, and that's it. And instead, they just let her have this idea in her head for her entire life that room was like evil or haunted or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like the most boring reason for keeping a door locked.
Yeah.
I feel like you could just look up from the driveway too and see the rot in the ceiling.
Well, it might not be that bad, but
I mean, it's bad enough that it collapses when you step on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it definitely was. Yeah.
Fair enough. And then they have to explain why this rich family never fixed the floorboards. And the woman's just like, my husband was a weirdo and didn't like spending money, which I guess that kind of, there's rich people like that, you know, who will skimp on like basic home repairs because they just, you know, they got rich by keeping to a budget or something and they never really want to deviate from the budget enough to do that.
I mean, I agree about skimping on basic home repairs, but falling through the floor seems a little more than basic, you know. I can't imagine skipping that.
Yeah, I mean,
and if it's rotting that bad, it could spread.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe that's why they just left the house.
Fuck it.
I also, so I was kind of one thing. Well, does anyone else have a high point?
Yeah, I have a high point.
Hit it.
I thought it was really well done. When the daughter died, I didn't see that coming at all. I knew something bad was going to happen to her, but I didn't think she was going to die like so quickly. That surprised me. So I thought that was well done.
Yeah, and I thought it was a nice touch that the dude clearly doesn't intend to kill her because he's not that kind of like, you know, bad person. He's just, you know, he'll lead a girl on to try to get her money. He might have tried to divorce her when she had the money to get a settlement or something. But murder is obviously like way outside what he's willing to do. And I thought that was kind of like a very precisely calibrated level of scumbag on it, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's willing to, like, you know, risk her health and well-being, but not necessarily, like, straight up just kill her.
I think he was probably being honest about how much sleeping pills he thought would hurt her.
Oh, I think so, too. But, I mean, at the same time, he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
and he
totally
wouldn't
fair.
Answer her straight when she was like, do you only want me for my money?
And the weird thing is he just dodges entirely instead of just, I mean, there's a lot of good answers to I like you, but also money makes things a lot easier. So why should we make our life harder than it has to be, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, there's plenty of legitimate answers. Like,
I think he could have been like, yeah, exactly what you said. And just like, we don't really need to like, I don't really need to make excuses for not wanting to give up like your entire fortune just because your mom's a bee.
Yeah. I hate being poor. Like, take the money.
Anyways, Ronald, you said you had a high point?
Yeah, I did have a high point.
You say that like him trying to talk.
No, I did have one and I forgot it.
You said almost exactly like he responded when she asked him if he wanted her money.
Yeah, I do want your money. What did I like about this episode? I think there was like a lot of good parts to this episode. Even though the acting wasn't amazing.
So many things do I like about this episode.
Yeah. This is like when you're like writing an essay and you don't know what to say. And so you need to get to 1,000 words. Yeah. Now, the acting wasn't amazing, but I thought they all did an adequate enough job to the point where all the characters were pretty believable. Like, like Lauren said, there's no big breakout performances here, but everyone was like you could see these people existing. They weren't like insane.
Yeah, and there weren't any like bum line reads where you're like, wow, I really wish you guys had given that a second take or anything, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just a sheen of professionalism over the whole thing.
Yeah.
What was the, what year was this one released?
Actually, it appears that no one really knows. It would have been somewhere between 68 and 70, I believe.
Okay.
That's a pretty refined year.
And the short story was apparently from the 30s somewhere, which I guess might explain why they, assuming they didn't change the ending, why they were scared of just having a like monster or ghost. For some reason, before about 1950s, often short story, like more respectable short stories would shy away from having overt supernatural elements in them.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Weird. But what about the Bible?
Well, that's different because it's like thousands of years old.
Okay.
Also, so the Bible doesn't
pass.
The Bible?
Yeah. Also, I don't want to like, burst your bubble too much, but the Bible actually only has one ghost in it, really.
What?
Well,
is
I guess
the Holy Ghost?
Well, no, you got the Holy Ghost and then you got Saul when the Witch of Endor calls him up from hell or wherever.
Witch of Endor? I didn't know Endor had a witch. I thought it only had those little munchkin men.
Ewoks.
Now here's a fun twist. First off, that moon is named after Endor in the Bible, and there's a witch of Endor who's like just a witch. But also, Endor the Forest Moon has a witch on it from Ewok. I think the Ewok Adventure number one, but it might be Caravan of Courage. One of them has a witch in it.
Nice. I'm glad you know your Ewok history.
I think it's Ewok Caravan of Courage. The one with Wilford Brimley.
Oh, classic. Is he on a horse?
I don't know, but he does fight a goblin man at one point.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Let's review that one.
Yeah. That actually sounds... I've never watched the Ewok show.
These are live action, although they're much lower budget. So instead of like space animals, there's just chickens and shit running around.
That sounds incredible. Okay, I remember my high point.
What was
my actual high point? The use of a narrator in this episode. Like, I do think that a lot of our episodes, they might have like kind of a narrator that intercuts for commercials and stuff. But I think in this episode, and I think a lot of episodes would benefit from this, and just like sometimes having a little exposition or description from a narrator instead of a character, like instead of like having to frame stuff in terms of a journal or having a character just like say things out loud that sounds really stupid.
Oh yeah, or awkward. You're like, oh yeah, he's taking out the mannequin from the bag.
Exactly.
Or,
he's getting off the table.
Or can you imagine if the guy had looked up and said the house is a sphinx? How stupid that would have sounded.
But you know, like a metaphor. Yeah.
That classic Sphinx sitting up there on a hill looking weird.
Yeah, it would have been incredible, actually. I changed my mind. That's a low point.
That's a really good point, Ronald.
Guys should just be narrating all the time. It would be fantastic.
with his stupid American accent.
Yeah. South African tried to do an American accent is a weird thing. I assume he's a South African. He's definitely got some kind of non-American accent that he's kind of trying to keep a hold of. And I think the woman's actually slips a few times when she, or the mother slips a few times when she's shouting.
It's acceptable. She could be, you know, from South Africa at some point.
Yeah. Anyways, anyone else got any parting high points?
No, I think that covers it for me.
Okay, let's hit some low points then. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Okay, so mine is, I think, a flaw in this, and it's not a flaw that couldn't be made up by some character, like a little more dialogue or something, is that it is very stupid that the guy accepts the house and then goes exploring it after the mother has straight up told him to his face that she doesn't like him and wants bad things to happen to him, you know?
At the very least, you would think, like, okay, this door's been locked for a long time. Maybe don't just run in.
Yeah, he's also wandering around this house that a woman who hates him and thinks he killed her daughter, which he did kind of, gave him apparently in the middle of the night, which I would at least wait until dawn, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and look, hey, another thing. There's a locked room in a really old house. Why would you assume there's anything valuable in there?
I don't know. He's just got it into his head that that's where the family kept their gems and shit.
And they left him there.
If they had anything valuable, they would have taken it out when they moved out.
No, no, no. I don't know what you're talking about, Ronald. I always leave $100,000 hidden in the walls of everywhere I move out of.
There's money in the Lawrence stand.
There's always called, money in the Lawrence stand.
It's called diversifying your investments.
You know what? I'm pretty sure she could be sued for that.
Well, apparently...
The '70s. Though maybe, yeah. I don't know, it's 50 years ago.
That house should have been quarantined. She had knowledge, folks.
Yeah, she did. She certainly did.
Well, speaking, I will say, I don't think this dude has a family who gives a shit about him, or he probably wouldn't be doing all this stuff. So, although she might be able to be sued, I don't know if anyone would sue, like, care enough to sue.
It is true that he literally, I think he even says he doesn't have any family, so.
Yeah.
Sad.
He's actually at one point scared that she's going to sue him. Remember?
When I assume criminal, because he did basically kill his wife.
Yeah, get him on negligent something or other. Yeah.
I don't think there was any evidence, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
If the glove doesn't fit, Lawrence. All right?
Yeah. So he just goes around carrying an ill-fitting glove, and every time someone threatens to sue him, he just whips it out. He's like, it doesn't fit. I'm immune to the law.
Yeah, the glove doesn't fit. And this is the glove that put the pills in her mouth. And everyone's like, how do you know that?
You said that.
Weren't you not home at the time?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't fit. I'm immune. Next case. Court case.
I know somebody did it, and they used this glove, and it wasn't me.
Then he's like, case dismissed, and the judge is like, that's what I say. I don't know why. And so,
okay, I have a low point. You ready?
Hit me.
Yeah.
I feel like the plan for her to demonstrate her love by attempting suicide is flawed and demonstrates more her unstable state of mind, that she's not ready for a marriage more so than love. So,
yeah, no shit, dude.
Right. How is that
I didn't like
point?
The plan.
And I also think at some point she should have said, hey, while you're dosing up these pills, I had rheumatic fever, so my heart is different, you know? Presumably she knows she had rheumatic fever at some point, and she really should have told him.
Dude,
it's her fault all this happened.
I have a low point following in Rahul's, take on the episode, okay? The people should have been nicer to each other, and the guy probably shouldn't have tried to steal the girl's money and inheritance, and the mom shouldn't have been so rude to her daughter. Those are all low points for me.
Here's another low point. They should have fixed the floor.
Yeah, right? That's, man, there's just so much conflict in this that could have been avoided.
Yeah, and you know? Also, here's another low point. The house should have looked more or less like a Sphinx. The current level
that
of Sphinx.
For did. Sure.
Yeah, it's an
that
unacceptable
one's an actual low point.
Yeah, it's an unacceptable level of Sphinxness.
I just don't think it makes that much sense as a plan. You know, it's like
I don't think it was supposed to. And in fact, she died because of it. So, you know, I think the writers agree with you.
No, you know, I just feel like it should have been like a different, like more sensible plan. And then she died. You know,
I think that the plan should probably really have been that he meant to kill her. Because that is honestly what I thought it was until he seemed genuinely shocked and also didn't ever take that many pills. And also it turned out he couldn't inherit.
I kind of like it more the way that it was, though. Because it was like, you know, he's a greedy bastard. He didn't really think about it, about the consequences, but, you know, he still absolutely endangered her without really a second thought.
Yeah.
It kind of shows his real character.
Yeah, and yeah, for sure.
Was it smart?
Easily, she could have just easily said the truth and then
would have. Well, and I mean, like, would it have convinced the mom anyways? Probably not, but it is what it is.
By tell the truth, do you mean send a letter to her mom saying, hey, this guy tried to talk me into murdering my, or to faking suicide. I'm so in love. Please let us stay married.
I mean, after the fact, if she recovered from the OD, you know, and then like, you know, like some months later, she's in the hospital, she's like talking to the nurse and she's like, yeah, actually I took the pills because I was faking it. I wasn't trying to kill myself. You know this, it all hinges on her not saying that.
Also, I think, you know, realistically, even if you like, if you take the pills, like even if you're not intending to kill yourself, you still need to go to a mental hospital or something because you're doing really weird shit for it that could hurt you for attention.
Yeah,
in a mental hospital in the 70s, woof.
Oh, yeah, especially if it is in South Africa. I can't imagine that they were doing a good job down there.
You know, say mental hospital in the 70s, at least they existed. Hey. Post-Reagan era, where you at?
Yeah, it's like, hey, do you have God insurance? No, then get the fuck out.
Yeah, right.
Are you someone's real? Are you a rich family's embarrassing son? Okay, you could stay here. Otherwise, nah, we got nothing.
We have
for
rehab.
You.
That's about it. And it's very expensive.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
anyways,
the price of an Airbnb. Is that what we're
talking
about?
That's how much rehab costs. The cost of an Airbnb.
Bad. Like, that's like $150 a night. I could do that. I mean,
rehab is obviously a very valuable service, but like, that's like culturally the only thing that's not stigmatized into like basically jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, Raul, I enjoy that Raul, apparently upon finding out that rehab might be affordable to him, appears to have started considering getting addicted to things.
Look, it'd probably be cheaper than rent, all right?
It would not.
Well, how the fuck much are you spending on rent?
Oh, you're right. It wouldn't be. I did the math. Fuck.
You know, if it's the same price as an Airbnb, why wouldn't you just get an Airbnb?
Well, because it includes your meals, Ronald.
It's podcast logic, okay?
No. Think about it like this. If you get the Airbnb, you're also going to have to spend like $50 a day on food. I mean, if you're eating like me, just nothing but pure caviar that costs exactly $50. if you go to the rehab, the meals are included. So, boom, there's your savings.
Boom.
And you also get to go to therapy and finally work through your issues with your dad that led you to do cocaine when you found out that rehab was affordable.
And when you found his stash of cocaine.
And you guys high-fived and did it together.
Thanks, Dad.
The 80s were sweet.
It's just like Christmas. It's just like him opening a box of cocaine.
Exactly what I wanted, son.
You know, I trace a lot of my cocaine issues back to my dad and the fact that he kept giving me cocaine.
Your dad's your dealer? He's reliable.
And he says he's given me a good rate, although he also says I shouldn't ask around.
Do you think, like, Fred Trump had, like, crazy parties and Donald, young Donald, like, did all kinds of crazy drugs at Fred Trump's crazy parties?
I don't think Donald Trump does drugs because I don't think Donald Trump likes being alive.
Wait, wouldn't that be a reason to do drugs?
Well, he dislikes it in this very specific way where he thinks he sort of knows on some level that he's not good enough and doesn't deserve nice things. And that's also why, for instance, he burns the hell out of his steak and serves it with ketchup. Also, have you ever seen a picture of Fred Trump?
I didn't even know his name was Fred.
I think I have. I just don't remember.
I'm going to pull one up.
All right. You posting it?
One sec. Yeah. I am copying it into the Discord.
All right, everyone. This is some homework for you to do, is to Google Fred Trump while Lawrence does this for us.
Yeah, this is great. This is fucking lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. People don't understand how good. Oh my God. I've seen this picture before.
What happened to the side of his...
It looks like he was taken over by a pod person.
Did he get hit by a cannonball? What happened?
I think might just be that he got a lot of 60s plastic surgery, but God only knows.
The black and white picture looks fine.
It does not. He looks like a horror. He looks like he's about to bite you. Yeah, this is. Anyways, that's Fred Trump. His mother is also horrible to look at. So, you know, just if you're Donald Trump, his parents were ugly, and he's not. He's no longer terribly attractive himself. Anyways, moving on. Anyone got any like parting low points or especially weird things?
You know, not an episode full of incredibly weird stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of too well put together and nothing too offensive. So there's just not that much we can like goof on here, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of true.
Do you think they sanitize it or is the source material?
I would be the source material. I guess it could have a little more casual 30s racism, but I doubt it like would be any less.
Well, or in the original story, when he opened the door, he walked straight into the Sphinx's mouth.
See that. Yeah, but that would have been really scary back in the day, so they probably
They had to change it.
Yeah.
Into him horribly falling through a rotted floor onto the driveway. Less scary.
This just has convinced me to always buy a ranch-style home instead of this nonsensical multi-floor monstrosities that are on the everywhere else in the country.
Yeah. You should also have, like, you know, a farm.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you could just, like, not, like, get people murdered, and then no one will try to trick you into falling through floors.
You know, that's not a guarantee you can make, pal.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a...
I'm going to try and trick Raul falling through a rotten floor many times throughout his life, and there's not really any reason for it.
I mean, that's the only thing that gives my life purpose, honestly. So
same here.
I'm on board with that. We're like Batman and the Joker, except
exactly. We're going to be labor. Doing this forever.
If you're curious, the original short story was apparently called "The Behind the Locked Door" by Henry Sleezer.
Do you think his name is Sleezer because he did this to his wife originally?
He's like, man, that was a good idea.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Anyways, okay, let's move on then to some. Well, I believe Ronald has a game for us, right?
I do have a game for you. It's called. It's a repeat of one of our favorites, Fuck, Marry, Kill with Random Movies. Here's how we play. I'm going to generate three random movies for you, and you're going to choose which one you have to fuck, which one you have to marry, and which one you have to kill. Rahul, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right, Rahul. You get The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader from 2010.
Okay.
Project X from 2012.
I don't know what that one is.
Okay, I actually... finish rolling, but then I have an amazing Project X fact.
Okay. And then Grown Ups from 2013, starring Adam Sandler. It's Grown Ups 2.
The worst one. Famously, a very podcast-friendly movie because of the worst idea of all time, where they just watched it every week for a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyways, so Project X, right? It's I guess this might spoil it a little for Raul, but it's a movie about like some teenagers who throw an ultimate party. It's shot like a found footage horror movie for some reason, a little bit of nudity, very low budget, and shot made a surprising amount of money. One of the guys on it later ended up on the podcast Struggle Session, but for some reason he took the money he had made from that and paid the site Bang Buzz to be allowed to be on their website and record a porno, where he just had, like, it appeared to be fairly disappointing sex with three porn stars, where it lasted about 5 minutes and then he just sort of came. Not prematurely exactly, but certainly less long than a porn star would last. And and then he had to leave this podcast Struggle Session for being an asshole. So, yeah, nice. Fascinating, right?
Weird.
That is that's a story.
What a strange thing to do after you made, I mean, he was enough of a celebrity. He probably could have just had sex with women without having to do that, but nope. He filmed it and everyone got to see that he looked kind of weird without his clothes on and his penis wasn't that good.
Huh. All right.
But of course I watched it.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, somebody had to.
Yeah.
I mean, more
you watched it, so we didn't have to.
I mean, I should stress out of morbid curiosity less than erotic interest, but yeah.
I mean, you were also horny at the time.
Well, yeah, but I'm always horny. That didn't increase or decrease. Well, it decreased my horniness a little bit. Anyways, Rahul?
This is hard for me because I have actually not seen any of these movies, but I will do my best.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
Okay, cool.
I will give you a description of any of them that you want, but I'm not guaranteed to have seen them either.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's see. I kill Grown Ups 2.
That's probably a good call.
Because Grown Ups are lame. And they're responsible for all of the evil in the world. So if we get rid of all the grown-ups, the world's going to be like a utopia. And it is That's definitely true. Not going to descend into Lord of the Flies type scenario.
Are we not grown-up?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm young at heart, but also I'm pretty cool dying. So I'm happy either way this turns out.
Shit, I guess Lawrence lives even though he wants to die, and both me and Ronald die.
Even though you want to live.
Just whatever you want, you don't get.
Yep, it's the curse.
That's how Rahul rules this world.
So the world is populated entirely after you kill grown-ups too, by sort of depressed but also sprightly 30-somethings and then children. Great.
Sounds right to me.
Oh yeah.
All right. What was the other one? I don't even remember the three that I gave you.
Project X and fuck, what was the other one?
Oh, it was one
Chronicles
of
the one. Oh, right. Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Chronicles of the Dawn Treader.
Okay, Chronicles of Narnia definitely gets a fuck because I mean
the lion, bro.
Come on, the lion, dude.
Yeah.
That thing you can't pass up that opportunity.
Also, it's God.
Yeah.
The lion's
and
God.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus,
so basically,
whatever.
You have sex with God.
Yeah.
And Dawn Treader. Like...
So you're essentially having sex with me.
Oh, shit. Hey, yeah.
Now, which is your lifelong goal.
Now, let's commit a little blasphemy thought experiment here. Now, we all know that God is the most perfect being that can exist, right? So do you think it's more perfect to come a lot, like to be really easy to make come, or to not be able to come at all, or to be like, you can come, but it takes a long time, but it's really good when you do.
I got it. So you come really fast initially, and then the second round, you last a long time.
Ah, best of both worlds.
Yep.
I don't know about the length of time, but I just want to say that whoever God is, they're coming buckets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the volume is going to be high.
Yeah, heard the flood.
That was the week when God, like, he was looking through his omniscient knowledge and realized that porno was going to exist. And he's like, oh, fuck.
This is so sweet.
I mean, he invented porn for a reason. All right, I'm just saying.
True.
And I obviously marry Project X because that sounds like really random and zany and interesting and really something that would make a marriage stick together for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, just total randomness. And I mean, X, you know, Project
Unfamiliarity.
X. Who knows what that is? Like, it could be anything.
I mean, I didn't have to explain what it was to you.
Yeah, whatever. I wasn't listening. But yeah, it could be anything, you know? So,
yeah.
Perfect marriage.
Despite
material.
What Lauren said,
it could be anything.
The Lord says so much. I can't keep track of it all.
I might just be telling one of my patented lies, like my recent thing I'm trying to get going, that Hitler was actually from Texas.
Man, this is how all that Q shit started. I know it. Like, someone just makes up things that are
Hitler is alive and well today, and he's currently the secret governor of Texas.
And he has been since about the 1700s, which is the
truth. Okay, Lawrence, you ready for your three movies?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, you got Gran Torino from 2008, Capote, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman from 2005, and Night of the Living Dead from 1968.
Okay, obviously gotta fuck Night of the Living Dead. Not even open for debate. So fucking
you're gonna get fucking hot. Something bad from that. I don't know what.
Look, man.
Gonorrhea, maybe?
Look, I gotta fuck it because I basically already done that. Yeah, man, I'm into some shit. You don't know. You don't know. Anyways,
okay.
I'm gonna I think I'll kill Gran Torino. Clint Eastwood's pretty old. He's lived a good life, and that movie.
I thought you were into old people. I'm surprised you're not fucking Gran Torino, honestly.
I mean, no. I might if it were any movie other than Night of the Living Dead, I might throw elderly Clint Eastwood after he's learned that I think Laotians are people. I might throw him a bone. But yeah, you know, no. And I guess I'm marrying Capote, which is great because I love Philip Seymour Hoffman, hell of an actor, really, you know, a lot of soulful performances, and maybe, just maybe, I could be the rock he needs to not relapse and to keep having a good career or whatever. And also, I don't know anything about Truman Capote, so I'm just assuming I'm married Philip Seymour Hoffman. Anyway,
so I thought Capote was like an Italian dessert.
Yes, that's what it is.
Look, you gotta give me this. It sounds like it.
Philip Seymour Hoffman as a Capote.
And then underneath the title in parentheses, it says, it's an Italian dessert.
He doesn't move or speak the entire movie.
And the tagline of the movie is, Mamma Mia, that's an Oscar-worthy performance. I mean, I do think he got nominated for an Oscar for it. So I guess he did a good job playing the Capote. Anyways.
All right, Ronald.
All right. Here's mine. Okay. The Christmas Chronicles 2 from 2020.
Oh, good.
Starring Kurt Russell.
Oh, shit. The Sexy Santa movie.
Apparently. Training Day from 2001. And Isle of Dogs from 2018. Wes Anderson.
So you got to pick these very carefully, Ronald, because your answers here will determine whether or not King Kong has something on you.
That's true. All right. Well, I would kill the dogs.
What? I know that what the fuck? What the fuck?
Miss Lawrence off.
What the fuck?
And then I would fuck Training Day because Denzel is hot man, you know?
Yep.
I got to admit, he is, he could get it.
He gives a whole speech in that about how he likes to get it wet, doesn't he? Although I think he's talking about drugs.
I'm pretty sure he's homophobic, but, you know.
He likes getting his character drugs is. Wet? Is that what you're saying, Lawrence?
I think it means, like, doing meth or something. Anyways, don't worry, Ronald. You can change him.
Exactly. You know what? One session with me is all he'll need.
Yeah. What? And then, a homophobe is just a guy who hasn't had a really good gay sex yet.
Yep. And then he's going to turn into a heterophobe after being with Ronald.
That's what I mean by change him. I'm not trying to take away his hate. I'm trying to redirect it.
Displacing it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, like, you go into a sexual encounter with Ronald homophobic and you come out and for some reason you just hate the fuck out of the Irish or something.
Yeah, you know, if I just make one person hate Irish people instead of gay people, I've done my job.
And it's extra confusing because you're Irish. So, kind of. Ish.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy. It's easy for them to have a target for that hatred.
No, it's just such is the power of your dick that it, like, scrambles their brains and it just reconfigures it. And it's kind of like God's throwing a die.
Not everything is about your dick being some key to unlocking this human psyche, dude.
Yeah, but this is.
Sometimes it's just discussion and therapy. So
you could just talk to a person and convince them to hate the Irish.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of anal stimulation involved.
The prostate actually connects to the brain stem. Yeah, I learned that cool.
You're starting to get it, you know. Don't reveal all my secrets.
It's a patented process to have a sexual encounter with Ronald that also makes you hate a different ethnic group from the one you currently do. It's almost tantric.
People pay for the privilege. Let's just put it that way. All right. Now, then I'm going to marry The Christmas Chronicles Part 2. I've never seen this movie. It looks pretty terrible, but it does have Kurt Russell, so I'm marrying it.
Oh yeah,
I think that's
he's worth bagging. Plus, he's Santa.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of treats for you.
make my holidays jolly or whatever.
You want to marry Santa?
You know, Raul,
I feel like just
he's the ultimate. He's the apex male.
Yeah,
he's the alpha to end all alphas.
Yeah, in fact, he's maybe even a sigma because he does kind of grow up outside of society.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Raul, I don't want to like reveal too much, but there is a lot of gay porno about people fucking Santa, so it is
there's probably straight porn fantasy on that too.
Yeah, fair enough. But the gay stuff is the
good stuff.
The straight stuff is normally about people wanting to fuck his elves, which is more confusing to me.
I just don't think I'd be. I mean, I know there's room for all types. I'm not judging, but
you're not into Santa?
I just a big old beard and like his like stupid outfit. Like, what is?
I mean, he takes his clothes off when he fucks. He's a gentleman.
I just don't like it. Like, it's just,
you don't like the white beard, bro?
No, I don't.
Maybe, you know, I'm thinking about it, and maybe it has something to do with you not being attracted to men.
No, yeah. That's, you think that's not it, dude. I'm pretending like I am.
Oh,
I think the problem is for me that Santa doesn't seem like he's like jacked. You know, he just doesn't look. He doesn't come
like if you're gonna have sex with a man, he's gonna be fucking torqued.
Like if Santa was Kyriakos, now I could understand.
Oh, Grizzly? All right, think about Grizzly with a freaking white beard, though.
Oh,
oh my
dude,
god, that's
so good.
You know, I bet Kyriakos Grizzly with a white beard is just how God looks.
Or that's how Santa actually looks. They have to tone him down for the movies.
The world isn't ready for Santa to be that round.
All right, how the fuck do you think he carries so many presents? He's ripped.
He must be. I mean, I don't know. But don't use his elf slave labor for that.
He's going around to the houses.
Yeah, right? Like, they're just behind him, you know? Like, in the galleys of his carriage.
You know, I'm thinking it over in my head a lot while you guys are talking about whatever you're talking. I don't think Kyriakos Grizzly's body has any angles at all. It is just all curves. And you know what? That's admirable. It's going to serve
curve is an angle, all right?
It's going to serve him in good stead when the Hounds of Tyndalos attack. They won't be able to get an entry on him. That was for me and no one else.
You can he can do his special attack where he just like rolls up into a ball and
yes,
rolls at people at like 1,000 miles an hour.
That is what he is. One of the very few human beings where I think they actually could roll into a ball that would actually work.
I mean, I couldn't stop him.
Yeah, he's too heavy. Even if he doesn't use his muscles, he's just too heavy. Yeah. God damn.
Was that a Clock of Dreams reference, Lawrence, or something else?
Well, it's the same thing that the Clock of Dreams were referencing. There's just these monsters in the Cthulhu mythos called the Hounds of Tyndalos, where they come out of angles for some reason. Yeah, like, they can come out of right angles. Anyways, let's get to some recommendations and cautions. This episode has been, I mean, it's been great, but it's also been just the sheerest fucking nonsense. Anyways, Ronald, would you care to start us off?
Okay, yeah, sure. Recommendation, I've been watching the new season of The Orville, and it's so good. Like, it's hard to recommend The Orville to people because they see Seth MacFarlane and they assume that it's like a Family Guy joke about Star Trek, but it's actually just like the best Trek show since The Next Generation, or maybe since Deep Space Nine.
You better fucking put that in or I'm gonna have to kick your ass.
Yeah, Deep Space Nine is also excellent, but like, since then, there hasn't been as good of a Trek show. And it really, really, it's really, really good. You know, watch, and the newest season seems like the best one so far. I haven't finished it yet, so I can't say. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it is really, really excellent. So I can't recommend it enough. Orville, just give it a shot. The first two episodes of the first season aren't super great. But if you can power through that, it gets really good really quick. And then cautions. I watched the new Street Fighter show. Or sorry, Tekken. It's like Bloodlines or something like that. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't very good. And especially to your average person who doesn't really give a shit about Tekken, it was especially kind of not great. But even as like somebody who knows the Tekken story pretty well and was interested in it for that, it just didn't really have that much going on. It wasn't that interesting. I wouldn't recommend it. It had its moments, but just not worth the time investment. That's it for me.
Okay, I'm going to go next if you guys are cool. So I have one recommendation, one caution, pretty down the middle. My recommendation is a book called Overfiend by David Annandale. I've been alternating pretty consistently between one Warhammer 40K book and one horror book, and this is my 40K book. It's a collection of three novellas that interweave to tell a different story. The basic plot is that the Octarian War is sort of tilting in the orcs' favor, so they... forces of the Imperium have sent three chapters to try to lure the orc warlord out and kill him so that the Tyranids will have an advantage and the stalemate will continue. The first one, and so it's three different chapters of Space Marines. Each of them gets their own novella kind of showing what they're about. The first one is the White Scars. The second one is the Raven Guard. And the third one is the Salamanders. And each of them like sort of shows you like a different side. I really enjoyed like getting, you know, three kind of neat little introductions to each of the chapters. The White Scars chapter in particular is very excellent because they're just a bunch of like weird, essentially Mongols riding around on motorcycles and fighting the hell out of orcs. And one of them is a storm seer, so he's got all these like weird magic powers and ends up going up against an orc psyker. And it's just good fun. It has a little bit of weird ambivalence about the Imperium, which is good in a 40K novel. And in particular, it kind of highlights the way that the Imperium's just absolute mistrust of Xenos kind of fucks them when they're trying to work with some Eldar who are sort of trying to help them and sort of not. You know, it's a good time. It's a 40K book. It's not like, oh my God, this new classical Western literature, but you will have an excellent time reading about like just giant maniac, like guys jumping around on like jetpacks and stabbing people with weird electric claws and shit. And yeah. And my caution is a very light caution. This is a movie that I kind of didn't like, but kind of did. So if you want to check it out, it's fine. It's a film called You Are Not My Mother. It's from Ireland 2021. Basic plot is that a girl's mother is being out of sorts and weird, and then she just straight up disappears one day, and then when she comes back, she's like weird and changed. And there's some terrifically creepy scenes. In particular, there's one of the new mother just kind of dancing and getting like more and more wild and like not seeming to care about her body at all. That's like really pretty grody. But the basic problem I had was that I could kind of guess what was happening just from the basic plot summary. And
is it a skinwalker?
No, it's, you got to remember that it's Irish, dude.
Poltergeist. It,
yes, that famous Irish.
It's a banshee.
What
else does Ireland have?
I don't want to say because I don't want to spoil the fucking movie.
Oh, it's the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes, the Scottish Loch Ness Monster has come to fucking Ireland.
That's close enough.
But anyway,
it's a leprechaun.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
It's a stealth leprechaun reboot. Warwick Davis shows up in the last scene.
You know what? That would be fucking incredible.
Yeah. But anyways, never quite shocked me as much as it could because I knew what was up. But, you know, there are some plenty of good scenes in there. And if you can't guess what's going on, go give it a watch. And, you know, that's it from me. Anyways, Rahul, what do you got?
All right. I'd like to recommend a movie because I'm like a basic bitch. A Netflix movie called The Man from Toronto. Man, Kevin Hart is so funny in it. I won't say any more on it, but you know, it's just a Netflix action movie, but Kevin Hart is so fucking funny. Love that guy. And I have no cautions.
I don't want to make fun of Raul too much, but I'm looking at The Man from Toronto's reviews.
Don't look at reviews. Just watch.
Trust Rahul, not the critics. Yeah. Anyways, okay. And Rahul, finally, do you have a plug?
Yeah, I do. All right. So there's this old man who lives outside my apartment in another apartment, and this woman moved in from like across the way, and this old man, he loves sitting outside. He'll sit outside all day. All seasons, pretty much, except for winter. And he pulls me aside one day, and he's like, you know, that person who moved in there. And I'm like, I'm thinking that like something bad has happened, right? He's like, yeah, you know, they like came over and they started talking to me. And I was like, I think they like might have like really offended this guy, you know? That's where I think this is going. And he's like, she just won't stop talking. She just keeps talking. So he's like, I can't go outside anymore because she keeps talking. So he loves being outside so much, but he's willing to sacrifice that to avoid talking to her.
Wow. He must be so incredibly annoying. Or maybe he's just an old codger.
Or maybe that is just
so,
one of those.
What's so funny is that this guy, because he's like, you know, basically by himself, his son comes to visit like once a week. He basically drives everyone else crazy, even though he's like super nice. By talking to them. So, like...
He got a taste of his own medicine.
I guess. So
what exactly are you plugging here?
Plugging the old man.
Oh, okay.
You're saying that we should go to your apartment, and when we see the girl who keeps talking, we should tell her that she's bothering the old man.
No, we should talk to her.
Oh,
give her a taste of her own medicine.
Out talk.
And then she'll be scared to go outside because we're talking to her. And then the old man can come back outside, unless we choose to talk to him.
We just got to keep talking to people until everyone's inside.
Excellent.
But the way he started the conversation with me was like so serious. I was certain someone was like messing with him or abusing him or something. And then it just turned into, she won't stop talking.
You know what, Raul? I think that's beautiful.
It's so funny.
I'm glad he shared that with you. Like, so you're talking to me about how somebody else won't stop talking to you. You see the irony here, right? He's like, no, what? I'm telling you about this awful thing that's happening to me.
They're both super nice. but yeah, I thought that was a little moments of levity.
He probably listens to this podcast.
Yeah, 100%. That old guy who loves listener. Outside knows how to work RSS feeds and shit.
Well, he stalked Rahul's name on Google to see if he posts any pictures.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, I'm just scrolling through our Discord chat. Chaos energy there. I'm up to the image we posted from Repenetrator. Or no, from the Evil Dead porn parody of, Ada Wong. No, it's Jill Valentine fucking a guy while shooting two zombie girls. And then we've got a song from someone called Big Clit.
Oh, shit. You watch that, dude? You gotta watch that, man.
I'm not watching that.
I plugged it already.
Yeah. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. Signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna get rich. Finger in the bottle. Now feel the head swish. Cross my bed.